Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. It's 7:18 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on the last Saturday before Christmas, Saturday, December 21st. I'm Will Stevenson with you today, and we are live at the Galesburg Walmart Supercenter, where our boatload of toys toy drive is continuing. It's our just completing our first full day here, and man, our boat is full of toys, but there is still a lot of room for yours because we want to make sure that we can help the kids affected and helped by Safe Harbor Family Crisis Center have a very Merry Christmas. That's what our boatload of toys toy drive is all about. So we thought, why not? We'd talk about important issues here while you bring toys by. It's a nice balance, right? And we'll do that for, I don't know what I meant by that either. But we have a couple of interesting conversations here over the next 2 hours live at Walmart. If you come by and see us, make sure you do bring a new toy for Safe Harbor that we'll take to them tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. And we thank you in advance for your support and your help and helping to make the holidays happy for some more people in our community. Over the next 2 hours, actually in our second hour of the program today, Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson will join me. We'll talk about what's been going on in county government and in his office. And I told him he has to bring me some of those tiny donuts he makes on the side now. But maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know. But a man who doesn't make tiny donuts, but who does a lot for the community nonetheless, is Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard joining us in this first hour. Thanks for coming out here to Walmart, John.
Thank you, Will. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to have you here. And, of course, John also owns the radio stations, but I invited him to be here because it's, gosh, John, about that time where you're in at the end of the city's fiscal year and into a new year almost.
Yep, we've wrapped up 2019 as far as the council meetings go, and it's been a fairly decent year.
Yeah, kind of give me your assessment of some of what's happened. It seems like that a lot of the priorities that have been on the city's to-do list have gotten some progress, but it sounds like, as always, there's still a lot of things more to go, isn't there?
Yeah, there were a lot of things done, and as I was kind of thinking about this interview that last night, it's kind of a long list that I put together on different accomplishments.
Yeah, what would you say maybe is the biggest thing that you did this year? I imagine it probably depends on who you ask what that big thing might be, but there's been a lot of, I would say, probably change and in some ways for the better in the city operations and city government this year.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of changes, first of all. I mean, we have Tom Simpkins, fire chief, retired, and we had a replacement process for that, and as well as the chief of police. So that's kind of a big a change when you have important department heads like that change. We kind of reorganized the police and fire departments in the sense that we now have a chief and we have a deputy chief. We created the deputy positions.
Let me ask you about that first for both the police and fire departments. What was kind of the impetus behind that? Was it kind of doing more with less? Was it kind of just streamlining operations, modernizing them? Or what was kind of the thinking behind
it? Yeah, I think streamlining, modernizing. I think, when we're done with the police department and we've approved the budget for next year, you're going to see one less command position, but mm-hmm. more positions in terms of support staff. So I think it actually, puts more officers on the ground,
which is certainly, I think, been a concern. I think at times for police and fire, not just here, but really around the state. But it sounds to me like it's. Aside from maybe one less command position, as in the case of the police department, for folks who don't know, the two captain's positions were more or less consolidated into the deputy chief position, and there's at the fire department, one less battalion chief position that became a deputy chief position. But it sounds like the more things change, the more they stay the same, and things should be going pretty well in those departments.
Yeah, I think you know, obviously the city manager went through an extensive process to find the new police chief and fire chief, and actually, I can sit here and say, you know, we selected, or the city manager's, it was his call, but he selected the best candidates available. They both happened to be candidates from within their respective departments, but they we also had on the finalist list candidates from outside of Galesburg.
Was it difficult to find candidates for these positions? And I ask that because I know that in terms of some of the changes and consolidating, you kind of had to think about what the future salaries for future chiefs and deputy chiefs would be.
Well, I don't think it was any more difficult than any hiring practice. I mean, you wanted to be make sure that you got the most capable person hired into the position. I think that was done.
In terms of the police department, though, there's still, like, I guess, are probably some issues or concerns there, at least in terms of some lawsuits that have been brought forth against the police department. I know you can't specifically talk about those things, but do those give you pause in terms of the operations of the departments, or are you confident that everything is being done and is by and large above board?
From everything that I've seen and investigated, everything is being done appropriately, and I'm not particularly concerned about any particular litigation that anybody can bring at any time against anyone.
Are any of those situations close to being resolved, or are we looking at trials, or are you aware of any of that?
I don't know.
Okay. Back to the issue of selecting police and fire chiefs. While it was, as you mentioned, City Manager Todd Thompson's decision, I think it was important that there were efforts made in both instances to reach out to the community at large and give them a say as to priorities and who the best candidates for those jobs might be.
Yeah, Todd Thompson and Brad Nolden developed a process where we actually, you know, formed a committee to review the final candidates. We actually did a survey to find out what the Galesburg citizens wanted in terms of the a new police chief, and that information was very valuable and considered carefully by Todd Thompson.
That's very good to hear. And that's probably in terms of, while we know what a city manager does, that's even, I think Todd said in both cases, there haven't been too many times in the course of his career where he's actually had to do that part of his job, where he's had to find a new chief of police or fire.
Right, yeah, that doesn't come along very often. Yeah. You know, in my whole, you know, I'm born and raised here, and this is the fourth fire chief, for instance, that's been here since I've been here, maybe the third police chief.
I think that really says something about longevity of the city staff and how good of the situation is here to be able to keep people in those positions for that long, wouldn't you say?
Yep, I think that's a good thing.
We are talking with Galesburg Mayor John Pritchard here on Galesburg Live. Sorry about that, but and that's all right. We will make do with everything that happens here. So, John, we'll just maybe wrap up here before we take another break with police and fire. I wanted to ask you about the pension situation. Governor Pritzker signed a pension consolidation bill into law not too long ago. It was the sort of thing that you and other mayors were wanting. However, both of our local state representatives and I think most of our delegation in the Senate too, but I know that Representatives Dan Swanson and Noreen Hammond voted against it. Representative Swanson was concerned that there just wasn't enough time to do the homework on the bill before he had to vote on it, and Representative Hammond said she didn't think that it did enough to solve the problems, which more or less were the unfunded liabilities brought on in part by, you know, the pension funds not making as much money as the retirement funds of other state employees.
Yes, well, you know what, and I think they both make accurate points. I don't think there was enough time to study it, and I don't think it I don't think it's the ultimate solution to the downstate pension funding for police and firefighters, but I think it was a good bill and a good step forward. This was, in my opinion, you know, not a perfect bill, but it solved the basic problem of consolidating the investment funds of these 650 or 649 downstate pension funds into two funds, one for firefighters and one for police officers. And I think it could, you know, it'll take a couple, 3 years before they get this all organized and transferred and put together. But I think for the city of Galesburg, it could be $1.5 million to $2 million benefit to us from this legislation. But it's not the entire solution to the pension problems for police and fire. But it's an excellent step forward, and it's the kind of step that doesn't it doesn't impact negatively anyone, except of course the people that maybe were selling their services to these 649 downstate funds. So I think it's a good thing, and the Illinois Municipal League had made this their top priority for a couple of years, and of course you'd heard me in the past talk about this at length. So it's a good thing.
I got the impression that maybe Representatives Swanson and Hammond maybe didn't reach out to you so much before this came up. Did they? Did you have a talk with them at all about this? And why do you think they might have voted no, even though, as you say, this was at least a good starting point?
Well, I can't guess why they, why anybody votes a particular way on any particular bill. I did talk to Senator Tracy about the bill in advance. But I just didn't happen to talk to them. And, there's a lot of bills that come through the legislature.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, there's a lot of bills. And I certainly wouldn't have the time to talk about all the bills or even know what all the bills are.
In terms of the city's police and fire pension liabilities, where are we with that? It's become one of those things where it's becoming, a larger and larger part of the city's budget, or at least the city's part of the property tax levy.
Yes. The police, when I was elected mayor about 6.5 years ago, the annual contribution by the city into the funds for police and fire here were about $1.5 million. Now the actual recommendation is increased to about $5.5 million.
Wow. So goodness.
It's a tremendous increase. All cities in Illinois are adversely affected by this. In some cities like Springfield, Illinois, for example, the pension costs exceed the property tax revenue that the city receives.
I was going to say, I knew from when I was there a couple of years ago, that was the entirety of the city's portion of the property tax bill. And that's, it sounds like it's really only getting worse for cities large and small here.
Yeah, and we're at about 60-65% of our property taxes go into the pension funds for police and fire.
That's probably a good thing, so you can fund at least another portion of the city services with property tax dollars, although on the other hand, property owners will probably always complain that their taxes are too darn high. But it's got to be a difficult balance, I would think.
Well, the trouble is it's trending the wrong direction. In other words, the cost continues to rise dramatically, whereas the other 55% of the city employees are in the IMRF pension fund.
The Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, which does exceedingly well compared to the police and fire pensions.
Right, yeah. But 2 points about it. Number one is the 55% of those employees, the cost of that annually to the city is about $1.1 million. So compared to $5.5 for police and fire. The other thing is, of course, and this was the impetus of this new bill, and was the fact that the IMRF, which is professionally managed by investment counselors and not managed by downstate folks, has about a 4% per year greater return on its investments. Mm-hmm. That's where I get my $1.5 to $2 million number as to the benefit of the bill to Galesburg.
All right. On that note, we will take a break here. We could probably talk about pensions all day, but what's the point? It's still somewhat confusing.
Enough about pensions.
I'm not retiring anytime soon, but anyway, Mayor John Pritchard is here. We'll talk about more city budget-related issues and some other things that are happening in the city when we come back.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Approaching 7:41 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Live continues on this Saturday before Christmas. Good morning. I'm glad you're with us this morning. I'm Will Stevenson, live at Walmart in Galesburg for our boatload of toys toy drive. We are continuing to collect new toys, new unwrapped toys for Safe Harbor Family Crisis Center and the children of families affected by domestic violence. We are off to a fantastic start, but we still have a long ways to go until 5 o'clock tomorrow night. So anytime you're here, we'll be here around the clock till tomorrow night. So bring a new toy by. You don't have to purchase it here at Walmart, but it makes it certainly a little easier for you to do that here as well. And all kinds of toys here. Mayor John Pritchard is our guest this hour. John, does that to seeing all these toys here as a grandparent make you a little nervous, though?
Well, you know, it's pretty awesome. I mean, this boat is packed, and there's stuff on the floor, and I'm looking at some of this stuff going, I'd like to check that out.
I say every year I see toys that I'm familiar with and toys I've never seen before in my life. But
bicycles here, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I was here last night, $1,000 worth of things were purchased by firefighters in McQuan, which was a fantastic thing to come here and have them delivered to us.
Awesome.
I think we could get some Galesburg firefighters to do just as well, couldn't we?
Probably, yeah. Didn't I hear Randy Hovind was here last night?
He was here last night and gave us a nice contribution.
Good.
So
well,
Chief Hovind was was very kind to do that. Speaking of former Chief Tom Simpkins, which we brought up here a little bit in the last hour as we talked about the change in command, we are working on getting him to join us Monday night at 5 on Galesburg's Evening News as the Galesburg on Track initiative is trying something new involving the library and the Parks and Rec division that Chief Simpkins spearheaded. So we may get one more chance to talk to him in his in his old age, if you will.
His old age,
Monday night at 5 in our program, so we hope to make that work. Continuing our discussion about what's been going on in the city here, in terms of other items related to the city budget, I read where among the things in the salary schedule that was approved was the reformation, I guess, of a community development director in the city. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? It sounded like, from what I was reading, that Wayne Carl, the public works director, is, I think maybe if I was reading between the lines, he's just busy and really maybe can't do as much as maybe he has in the past as the city continues to grow and more initiatives take
place.
Yeah,
I think I'm involved in he's involved in every single thing that I get involved in. He's everywhere.
Did you have to get his permission to come here today?
Yes, I did. I had to get a note notarized by him. No, I think we've got a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of projects both from a community development aspect and from street reconstruction and so forth, and work at the water treatment plant. There's just a lot going on, and it made sense to do this restructuring. City manager's recommendation made a lot of sense.
What do you see from your perspective, and for folks who may not know, a community development director doing? And is it just dealing with things like housing and other issues in the city that maybe might be outside of infrastructure and things
that? Well, yeah. I mean, housing, first of all, housing is a huge issue here. You know, we have old housing. The city council's adopted a program a couple years ago to accelerate the demolition teardown of a lot of these houses that ought to go. There's issues about, developing development agreements with different organizations. There's facade programs to be involved with. We recently this year approved a downtown private alley improvement grant program. So there's just a lot of things going on that that we're trying to move, and more hands on deck were needed.
You mentioned housing and tearing down some of the more dilapidated and uninhabitable structures in the city. Where are we at with that? I imagine there's probably as much work as you can do. There's probably still a lot more to go.
Yes. I mean, I think basically we reallocated resources and probably allocated a few hundred thousand dollars more per year toward this, and it's still not enough. I mean, you know,
sure.
The problem with cities, you know, we have to pick and choose where we spend our money. We don't have enough to do everything. Also, you know, probably, you know, there needs to be work on developing a program to help homeowners who need help to maintain their homes and households. You know, we have retired people on fixed incomes who have large houses who might need a new roof and just can't afford it. Well, you know, we don't want, it's in the city's best long-run interest to not let those houses fall into disrepair.
Sure.
So we're working on that, and that's another thing for this new position to undertake.
And another thing I was just thinking about on the other end of the spectrum, you have like the groups like Project Rebound, which are trying to help new homeowners, maybe some of the younger people, maybe business people and employees in the city, you be able to purchase some of those homes and not go into debt right off the bat for it.
Right. You know, Project Rebound's a wonderful thing. It's specifically designed to help persons that are probably in the lower, you know, have a lower income and want to get in the house. And it's helping people get into homes and probably saving them money because their rent probably costs more than their house payment will cost.
Yeah. Is rent and rental properties, I know that there have been efforts in the last year with Judy Gunsett's office as housing coordinator to work with landlords to get those new ordinance changes that were approved last year effective and in place. What's kind of the feedback on that? Do we still have more work to do in terms of working with landlords and improving ordinances in that regard and maybe, you know, addressing some of those concerns that rent may be too high in some areas?
Well, there's, you know, the inspections are underway now. You know, we staffed up to increase the number of rental inspections. We changed some of the ordinances to set some basic requirements on that, and that's underway. I think it's going to take a year or two more to get through inspecting all the rental properties. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've discovered is with our lead water service line replacement, we've discovered there's a lot more rental properties in town than maybe we the city were aware of.
Ones that were
ones
rentals,
that
but unregistered?
Unregistered rentals. Mm. And I think we're moving ahead nicely in that area. And obviously there are some very sad stories about some of the conditions in some of these rental properties, and we're working to get that change.
In terms of the lead service lines, since you brought that up, again, this is still one of those things that frankly sticks in my craw because I think was one of those sort of unfunded mandate type of things brought forth by a congressperson who maybe wanted to look like she was a hero to a community, quite frankly, and Representative Bustos, just my opinion. but nevertheless, it sounds like at least when I drive down Main Street coming into work every day, I've seen some more lines replaced. And that seems to be, again, with being something you didn't necessarily want to get into, it seems like that process is going pretty well.
Well, it's my hope that that in the next couple of years we'll have replaced all the private residential lead water service lines in the city of Galesburg. We're currently wrapping up phase three, which is each phase is we've been able to obtain $2 million forgivable loans.
From the IEPA, correct?
From the Illinois EPA, yes. And we are applying. We've got the fourth application in. We have every reason to believe that we'll get that approved. But with the completion of the fourth phase, we'll still have phase five and a phase six to go. So hopefully, and each phase takes about a year to wrap up. So hopefully by the time this is all done, there will be no lead water service lines in the city of Galesburg. But more importantly, we've received a $4 million HUD grant to do lead remediation in homes.
Great.
Which is, you know, which is the real cause of high lead levels in our children. And that's underway. And we also have a study underway with the University of Illinois to look at the impacts. You know, one of the things we discovered early on in this process was about 60% of the homes where children with high lead levels were in did not have lead water service lines.
Wow! Yeah.
So, and pretty much, but there was no particular science to show that, and we're working on developing the science. So, when we're all done, we'll hopefully be in a position to know what we need to do, and frankly, what it amounts to is because, you know, something like 90% of our homes were built before lead paint was outlawed, and we have a lot of homes that are in poor condition. We just have a long way to go to resolving the lead in blood of our young children.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I don't think we wanted where it was maybe perhaps the best way to address the problem right away, but it's being addressed, well, and it sounds like it's maybe even more pervasive than we thought it was.
Well, we're addressing it well, I think you know, this whole issue about our water not being good was just not correct.
Real quickly, maybe in just a few seconds, in terms of water, I know that there have been improvements and more on the way and work at the Oquaka plant. It sounds like things, though, otherwise are going there pretty well.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, you know, there's been rainy well reconstruction. There's been a lot of projects underway there. Probably we've had quite a year, though, because the Mississippi River
right.
has been in flood stage. And I know for a period of several weeks, the crew out there had to haul diesel fuel out on a little boat out to the generator.
Yeah, I remember talking with Wayne when that happened, and I think he was a little concerned about how long they were going to have to keep doing that. Unfortunately, I don't think it happened for as long as we might have thought it would.
No, but but the river got high again, and one of the things that was done is the Ameren company moved the electrical service to a higher elevation. So we can resist higher levels of flood water than we had before. So,
I'm sorry. Yeah. I have a feeling I'm going to completely run out of time before I ask all my questions, but we do need to take one more break. 7:57 at WGIL. We have a few more minutes of this hour of Galesburg Live with Mayor John Pritchard. Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson will join us after 8 o'clock. We are here at Walmart in Galesburg. Scott, put that down. We're collecting new unwrapped toys for Safe Harbor Family Crisis Center until tomorrow night at 5, and that's why we are here this morning. But we're also here to talk about some issues with Mayor Pritchard. John, before I completely run out of time, I wanted to ask you, I saw in the news here where maybe one of the bigger issues impacting some people, depending on how you look at it, is when the use of recreational marijuana takes effect in January, and at least important to Galesburg, there is a dispensary that was set to open up January 1st that I saw, according to a published report now, was backing off about a month because of supply issues. John, can you talk from your perspective about why it was important for the city to kind of stay on top of this issue in terms of zoning and getting that first business in here?
Well, as you know, the state of Illinois passed a bill making recreational marijuana legal. So it was going to be legal in the state of Illinois. And from our perspective, cities could opt in or opt out of allowing recreational marijuana dispensaries in their community. There were going to be a very limited number of dispensaries in the first year or two. Mm-hmm. And we basically took the economic position that citizens who wanted to get recreational marijuana could either get it here if we had a dispensary, or they could drive somewhere else and spend their money somewhere else and generate tax revenue for another community. So I'm not enthusiastic about the idea of recreational marijuana, but if it's the law and it's going to happen, we might as well take the best advantage of it that we can.
One of those, if you can't beat them, join them type of things?
Kind of like that, yeah.
And that said, on the other hand, since I just heard you say you're not otherwise all that enthusiastic about the use of it, what do you make about communities like Monmouth that made the so-called value statement that they didn't want such things in their community?
Well, I think that's fine. I think that's a decision that was up to the mayor and the council of their communities. I think as a practical matter, there are only going to be 22 recreational marijuana dispensaries opened up in the state of Illinois on January 1st. So it's pretty easy to take a value statement position when you're not going to probably have a dispensary come to your town anyway.
Is it concerning now that there might be a little bit of loss of revenue now that the facility here in the old Aldi's at Main and Henderson is kind of delaying opening by a month?
No, I mean, we always knew that it would be pretty ambitious to get acquire a building, rehabilitate it, get all through all the state permitting in that short time.
It sure seemed to me that at least in terms of from a development standpoint that every time I go by that building, it looks like there was no way they were ever going to open on January 1st to begin with.
I don't know. I haven't talked to them or communicated with them, but I understand. I know that they've been hiring personnel to work at the facility, and obviously the construction crews are very busy.
In terms of economic development overall, I would argue that for a number of reasons, that sounds like that's continuing to be a pretty good success story for the city, thanks in part to the Knox County Area Partnership for Economic Development. Would you say that?
Yep, that's true. Ken Springer and his group were involved in the process. We had meetings with a couple of different, at least two, I think maybe three different cannabis groups, medical groups, because obviously this first round, these first dispensaries are being opened by groups that have medical marijuana licenses, and so we pretty much worked hand in glove.
That's fantastic. I'm out of time, but I'll ask you real quickly the initiative you started to change from the Galesburg Area Convention and Visitors Bureau to the Galesburg Tourism and Visitors Bureau. Sounds like that's pretty well in place and ready to go on January 1st?
Yeah, everything is underway. What we don't have is we don't have a executive hired to be the full-time employee and leader of the group. But
what do you look for in an ideal candidate in that from your perspective?
Well, this is a destination marketing kind of a situation. We're trying to market to get people to come to the Galesburg area. And so marketing experience is one of the key elements, and knowledge about, events and attractions and so forth. So it's a whole skill set that's kind of unique.
Very, very much so. But do we hope to have someone in place sooner rather than later, or do you know yet?
I think we're a couple of months away from having someone having a job offer out to someone.
That said, the Convention and Visitors Bureau previously was an arm of the Chamber of Commerce. I don't want to dwell on that too much, but I wanted to ask you, given this kind of change in operation here, how would you rate the operation of the Chamber of Commerce, and how would you rate the city's relationship with the Chamber of Commerce at this
point? Well, I think the city's relationship with the Chamber remains good and strong. I've been... when I became mayor, I got involved on the Tourism Advisory Board of the Chamber of Commerce, and so I had an opportunity for the last 6.5 years to look closely at how they were operating. When we renewed our contract 3 years ago with the Chamber, we kind of were specific about certain things that we wanted to see done. And
ultimatums?
Really, ultimatums, no, not ultimatums, but okay. Things we wanted to see done. And there wasn't a lot of progress made in those directions, so we felt it was time to develop a group that was focused strictly on the visitor center and tourism.
It sure is kind of a hard thing, I think, to kind of though assuage those concerns from people who tend to say, at least to us all the time, that there's nothing to do in Galesburg. But those are really the people that you're not necessarily trying to tell that there's something to do in Galesburg.
Well, yeah, you know, we're the Tourism and Visitors Bureau is really talking to people outside of the community to persuade them or inform them about reasons why they might want to come here. We're not talking to you or me about why we should get off our keisters and go do something. When I was a kid, and if I ever made the mistake of telling my mother there's nothing to do in Galesburg, I'd end up with a rake in my hand.
Yes.
I'm careful never to say that.
I still have nightmares about trimming the hedges around my house
right.
when I was a kid.
Yep.
But picking green beans out of my dad's garden. But that's another
yep.
discussion for
yep.
another day. Real quickly, maybe in just a few seconds, what do you see in the year ahead for the city?
Well, I see us. We've got a major street reconstruction project for South Seminary Street coming mm-hmm. up. We adopted a new economic development incentive policy, and so we're seeing some projects related to that. You know, Lakeside's going to have a new water feature. We've got new kayaks for Lake Story.
That's great.
We've got more. We're doing a mass transit study, looking into the possibilities of extending some mass transit outside of the city limits of Galesburg. Almost too much to mention. Well, you know, we've got playgrounds that have been developed, and, you know, the Lombard School playground and so forth. Got a lot of work to do. The solar plant is basically constructed
Great.
At the water treatment plant in Oquawka. Hopefully we'll get approval for some more of those facilities in Galesburg. So there's, trying to get some more of that forgivable IEPA loans for lead service line replacement.
All right. Well,
all right.
I think Scott Erickson is going to get antsy, so I've taken up way too much of your time. Mayor John Pritchard, thanks so much, and happy holidays, and best of luck for more success in the city in the new year.
Thank you. Happy holidays, and please come out and donate a toy for Safe Harbor.
Are you going to come back with a toy, John?
I think so. Yeah,
all right, very good.
Thank you.
We have that on tape now, by the way.
Yes,
you do. So, John, thanks so much. I appreciate it.